You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, Monday, February 17th. As of today, the average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin, $3.18. That's up 8 cents from Friday. Mm-hmm. The average price of a dozen large eggs here in the state, $5.86. That is the same as it was on Friday, but up considerably from the week before. We have a very busy show coming up for you today. Luann Bird from Bird on a Wire is going to be joining us at 10:33. We're going to be talking about civics and civic engagement and how to get involved in channel if you're feeling frustrated, if you're feeling despondent. We can put that somewhere.
Yeah.
And make it work. And make it work. Luann is involved. And she is a like Jean, who calls from, yes, from Eau Claire area. Maybe slightly older ladies. Mm-hmm. Very engaged in what's going on. And I think they're a great example for all of us.
Luann can be referred to as the unstoppable force or the immovable object, one of the two.
Seriously.
She has a lot in common with those.
And she's mentioned in an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, mm-hmm, particularly related to cuts now at the VA, which has a very immediate impact on her and her family.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking to Luann Bird coming up after the 10:30 news. Next hour, first half hour, we're going to talk about the IRS, Elon, and you. And then what are our lawmakers in Wisconsin? What's their priority? What is really important to them as we head into the second Trump administration? What do they want to see get done that's really going to help the average Wisconsinite? Yeah, we'll have details coming up about that next half hour. We will lighten things up in the last half hour of the show. Linda Welsh, the president and CEO of Sharp Literacy, is going to join us. And we're going to talk about a fundraiser they have coming up, Unwrapped Waukesha 2025. Mm-hmm. Some tasty eats involved with that. Mm. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Take a Whiff of This edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. Wanted to start off just with a little reminder. I'm sure you may have noticed this as you walked out the door. Mm-hmm. It's really stupid cold.
Yeah, like right now, it's 4.
And we're like the warm spot of Wisconsin. Yep. Northern Wisconsin, well, Amory this morning was like 25 below.
Dr. Lyerly, where she's at working this morning, she said it was 43 below zero.
Yeah, with so the wind. Nearly all of Wisconsin is under a cold weather advisory today for wind chills as low as 25 below. In the southern counties, including Milwaukee, this advisory runs until 11 this morning. The chilliest winds expected this morning between 6 and 11, with the feels-like temperature about 15 to 25 below. So just keep in mind, frostbite happens really quickly.
Yep.
Much more quickly, probably, than you realize.
Yeah.
So cover up. Wear layers. Don't wear tight things.
Yeah. Wear layers. Get some hand warming packets. Just
get
stay.
Get a heated vest.
Get a nice warming vest or
it's a
warming
fabulous thing.
Jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just stay warm. It's easy to do. It really is.
And don't forget your pets.
Yes. Oh,
very,
my gosh.
Very important, especially with your dogs and stuff like that. Some, you know, huskies, they live for this weather.
Yeah.
But for a lot of other breeds of dogs, it's just too cold for them, and their pads can actually get frostbite.
You know, Jane, I never really liked the cold, which is odd because my whole life I was called husky. So, boom.
Jokes. We're going to start off. Today is President's Day, by the way. Tomorrow is primary election day. Mm-hmm. If you have not voted early, And again, this is one of those races that's not a presidential election. There's not a Senate race on it. This is a primary election. And in a lot of places, this is going to be the only thing on the ballot. Mm-hmm. And it's for who is going to head the Department of Public Instruction in Wisconsin.
Yes.
This is not necessarily a sexy thing that's going to get a lot of people coming out. Again, it's a primary. There are three candidates. This will narrow it down to two, yeah, who will then face off on the April 1st ballot. But I still think it's important that we know what these candidates are talking about when we talk about who is going to head public instruction for our kids, yes, across Wisconsin. So we have three of them: Jeffrey Wright, Jill Underlie, who is the current head, and Brittany Kinzer. So, Calvin, we have a number of clips from these candidates who appeared on WISN's Up Front, I believe, and thank you to them for that. Let's start off with School Superintendent Jeffrey Wright and what he thinks about public education in Wisconsin.
I was curious, broadly, why are you in this race?
I'm in this race because education is incredibly important, and we need an effective Department of Public Instruction. And I've heard from principals, superintendents, teachers, and parents that they feel the current DPI is not helping with that. It actually is a dysfunctional relationship.
Does that go directly to the top, to Jill Underlie, the state superintendent?
I do think so, because so much of this wasn't the case 3.5 years ago. Like, we've watched the department experience the struggle just in the last 3.5 years.
The numbers about Wisconsin kids is not good.
Yeah.
They're not good. And I don't think anyone, well, at least we're not disputing that. And that changes need to be made.
Yeah.
That's what's up in the air for this, I guess. Now we have another clip that was SOC Superintendent Jeff Wright.
Yeah.
Was that first clip. This is Jill Underlie, a clip from Jill Underlie talking about privatizing schools. And again, she is the current head of the Department of Public Instruction in Wisconsin. Calvin, can you play that clip, please?
What sets you apart from your other two?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So first of all, I am the number one public school advocate in the state of Wisconsin as a state superintendent. I've always been an advocate for public education, but what sets me apart right now is that we have to have these conversations about public school finances. We have a real threat when it comes to school privatization and vouchers in the state.
You see it as a threat?
Oh, absolutely. It is a threat.
There's lots of talk about more privatization, more charter schools, more voucher schools. Which, again, is not necessarily a bad thing, but I think about small rural communities in Wisconsin, in many instances, only have one public high school to serve maybe five communities.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of private options in those areas. So if we continue to chip away at public schools, what are going to be the options for people who live in those areas?
Well, and on top of that, too, as far as privatization and access to private schools, there just also has to be an overhaul viewpoint of accountability measures from these schools that receive voucher money.
And absolutely.
We've talked about it a lot just even last week, but we're talking about it all the time, is if this is going to go ahead, which, I mean, it feels like it's the, we're being pushed and we can't push back so hard. There needs to be more accountability, which I've talked to public school teachers about in the past. They don't hate the idea so much as they hate the accountability. They don't like the fact that they're not held to the same standard. That's the problem.
You're talking about voucher schools.
Voucher versus
and private schools.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with you. If we're going to give our tax dollars to public private institutions, mm-hmm, I don't understand why they don't have the same reporting requirements. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yep, exactly.
They're getting public dollars for this. Does that mean they don't have to be accountable to the public?
I mean, in my opinion, they're getting public school money. There should be a percentage. Like, how what's the percentage you get? And at what point, when do you become a public school then? Because if you were just able to go there because you're getting a lot of money from us and our money outweighs your endowment, then to me, you are a public school. And that might not be the case. Maybe some of these schools get 2 or 3%, but still, there still needs to be an accountability factor to getting this money.
We have the final clip from Brittany Kinzer talking about, she is a proponent of school choice and private schools and voucher schools. Here's a clip from Brittany Kinzer, again, appearing on WISN's Up Front.
They're still choosing the traditional public schools, right? Yeah. Like, we have, 800,000 kids, and only, less than 5% are choosing, schools that are funded by vouchers. So I think that if families want that, then they should be able to do that, right? And then So I guess yes.
Great answer.
If people want to send their kids to private schools, they should absolutely be able to do that.
Yeah.
Why they get to use public tax dollars for that, I don't understand.
But I think the problem I have with that answer is whenever you ask a question having to do with this type of topic, the first, and she did it. She said, well, the actual number is, if the number is over one, it's still my money going to these schools. So if you want this to happen, there needs to be mechanisms in place. And her, like, it's sort of almost a shrug answer, like, yeah, I support it. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Shouldn't be a surprise. I mean, she is favored by Republicans. Kinzer is a consultant for privatizing education through vouchers. And she's also the former president of a Milwaukee nonprofit advocating for charter schools. She said she's running because she wants to make sure students who are behind on reading get more one-on-one instruction and tutoring, which I think is great. Yes, yeah. That would require, I don't know, more teachers' aides. Mm-hmm. If they want more one-on-one instruction and tutoring, that kind of intimates to me that we need more bodies.
It also means more and sustainable sources of funding. It can't just be a referendum every five to six years. It's got to be about the DPI, which is a state organization working with the legislature to come up with a sustainable cash flow system of putting money into good projects. And when we have hiccups, we have problems with something like MPS and their financial woes, they need to be taken care of and people need to be dealt with and they need to be fixed and moving forward. But it can't just say, like, we need more one-on-one. Okay, cool. How do we get there?
Well, and how are you going to pay for it?
Yeah.
And who is going to fund that?
Me, you, us.
Well, not necessarily. It all depends upon the very handsome, highly intelligent, I'm taking a new tech, Robin Voss, and whether or not, I thought I'd try flattery.
Try tall next time, too.
Oh, and he's really tall.
Yeah.
I love tall men. It all comes down to Robin Voss and what he wants to fund.
Yeah.
Essentially. Bill, I see you on the line. We will take you on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck. Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you're just joining us, we're talking about tomorrow's primary election. Please vote. If you are not registered, if you're not sure if you're registered, if you're not sure where to go, myvote.wi.gov, that's going to have everything you need. All you have to do is type in your address, click enter,
and
everything is going to come up. In many instances, Calvin, I think you said this too, where you live, this is the only race that's on tomorrow's primary ballot.
Yeah, correct. At least in the village of Eagle in southwest Waukesha County, this is the only thing on the ballot.
That's it. Yeah.
I got three things. I'm looking at my ballot right now, folks. I'm on myvote.wi.gov, and I put my information in. I got three things. I got superintendent, school board, and guess what? Referendum.
Oh, another. Jeez. But yes, please plan and vote tomorrow.
Yes.
It's important. Out of the three, two will be moving forward. Brittany Kinzer is the candidate favored by Republicans. She is a big fan of voucher schools. We also have Jill Underle, first elected in 2021. She is going for another term. And then Jeffrey Wright, who is a superintendent in Sauk County, I believe. Those are the three candidates who want to move forward. If you'd like to join the conversation, 855-752-4842. Bill from Oconomowoc is on the line. Good morning, Bill. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. Say, on the school voucher program, I've got a, I'd like to ask Robin Voss his thoughts on this. I think the private schools should just drop their tax-free status, and then we don't mind supporting them. And then he's going to say, well, we won't allow that. And I said, now, just a minute. You're going to tell the taxpayers what they can do and can't do? I think this is going to take a statewide referendum, Robin. And then let's see if you're really against the taxpayers, because you're going to have to get vocal about it and say you are going to tell the taxpayers how to spend their money, not the taxpayers with a referendum tell you.
But
do you guys think?
Bill, I think that's the way Robin Voss has been for a decade. It's Robin's money. And he decides where it goes depending upon what he supports. Voters be damned. I mean, sorry. He does not seem to care what the vast majority of Wisconsinites want, including more gun safety measures, red flag laws, universal background checks, and access to safe and legal abortions. The vast majority of Wisconsinites all agree on those things, Bill, and yet Robin Voss refuses to move on any of them.
The reason he doesn't is because he's never faced a big statewide referendum on it.
Well, because there's nothing that we can do that has teeth to it. And that's the other problem, is that Robin Voss likes to talk about having a, quote, representative democracy.
Right.
Where our votes and our thoughts are represented by our leaders. The problem is, as Jane just said, and I'm going to throw marijuana legalization in there. I'm going to also throw something in there that is actually agreed upon in his party, which is expanding Medicaid for new mothers up to 12 months.
Right.
He's against all of these things, which doesn't really represent the will of the people. And so much so that Governor Evers in his State of the State said he wanted to push an agenda that allowed Wisconsinites to vote on a binding referendum on topics.
Right.
Robin Voss immediately against that.
Because that takes away his power.
Yep.
Thank you so much, Bill. Really appreciate you listening. Always appreciate you checking in. We do have a text from Eric in Wauwatosa. I would like to ask how our Wisconsin public schools benefit in any way from choice and parochial schools siphoning away billions of dollars from our K-12 system when these schools aren't part of the same system, aren't held to the same standards, and reserve the right to refuse students, which our K-12 public schools cannot do. The straw that breaks the camel's back for me is that my non-religious tax dollars are being used to indoctrinate children with religious beliefs, traditions, and biases. Can someone explain why this is even remotely fair to the rest of us? That's a great point, Eric, and I brought that up to someone well over a year and a half ago when Kristen was still here, and he basically said, well, the Supreme Court said it's okay. The Wisconsin Supreme Court said that you can use public money for religious institutions, and yeah, too bad.
I'll answer it, Eric and Tosa. It's not fair. It doesn't make it fair for our public school kids. It takes away resources. It takes away ability. And this state, I mean, for longer than since Act 10, but since Act 10, I mean, the vitriol, like taking away their collective bargaining rights, taking away, basically decimating their unions down to one or two functions, but then also on the other side of the coin saying teachers are moochers and takers and not makers, and making them seem like the biggest bunch of lazy thieves there are. I mean, why would anyone want to be a teacher, period? But I don't understand why anyone would want to be a teacher in Wisconsin.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If you are a supporter of private and voucher schools, please explain to me why it's okay. They do not have to follow the same standards as our public schools if they're all receiving public money.
Yeah.
That I would be much more in favor of these if they had to follow the same standards. And I think a lot of us would be, okay, that's cool.
I personally wouldn't be.
But at least it would be a little more fair.
I think that even if there was a broader fair issue on there, if there's to make it more accountable, there'd be ways of snaking around it, because it's always going to favor these schools, because that's what the GOP wants. They want to make these schools the place where kids go. Or they don't go to school at all, and they just start working at 9 years old, because everybody needs a ditch digger who's got good shoulders at a young age. But the thing, too, is you can't come at us with, well, the court said so. No, this is about personal feeling. Why does this sit right with you? And the court's decision is not the answer.
Yeah, aside from that decision, why is this cool? Why is that acceptable? Again, that private schools that get public dollars do not have to follow the same standards as public schools. Please explain to me, like I'm five, why that's cool, why that's fine, why you have no problem with that. Either way, please go vote tomorrow, myvote.wy.gov, and make a plan now to vote April 1st.
Yes.
That is for the spot on the state Supreme Court. That's a very, very big, important election, and it's going to be bringing in tons and tons and tons of money from outside groups. Isn't that interesting? Stay close. News is next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Like a bird on the wire, like a drum in a midnight choir, I have tried in my way to be free.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a heads up, the Todd Allbus Show follows us from noon to 2 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. Today, Todd will have a preview of tomorrow's Wisconsin spring primary. Also recap top stories from over the weekend. In hour number two, this is great. They always do What's Worse, which is a great opportunity for you to just check in and have your opinion heard. Today it's about Most Annoying Couples Edition. Should be a good one. What's Worths with Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. We are waiting for Luann Bird to join us from Bird on a Wire. She is in transit and should be here at our studio in just a second. Right before the break, we were talking about tomorrow's primary election between candidates Jill Underle, who is the incumbent, going up against Sauk Prairie Superintendent Jeff Wright and education consultant Brittany Kinzer. Brittany Kinzer, a big proponent of choice schools and voucher schools. And we did have a couple interesting comments on the live stream. Cassandra says, I'll ask my neighbor about this, about why they should be getting public money without having to follow the same standards. I'll ask my neighbor about it. He's the pastor at a church in my town that has a school in it. However, he and his wife are left-leaning. LOL. Tom also texting in on the live stream. My parents sent us to a Catholic school. They also knew that there had to be a sacrifice in order to send them to school by paying extra for it. I also went to a Catholic grade school.
Yep.
You went to a Catholic school.
12 years.
That I'm sure my parents had to pay extra for.
Oh, yeah, and I've said before that the high school that I went to in Waukesha, now their yearly tuition is more expensive than UW schools.
That's just mind-blowing.
And just also, I checked out, we got a couple things about the sound on the live stream, checked out, everything should be good to go now. So.
Good. Glad to hear it. Again, I guess I would have fewer problems. Let me put it that way. I would have fewer problems with tax dollars going to public and private schools if they had to submit to the same standards and the same reporting requirements that public schools do. Mm-hmm. But they don't.
No.
And they can refuse any kid they want.
Yes. And you said it before, squaring it. Make it make sense. Talk to us like we're a five-year-old. No one ever really can. It's just how it is, and it's just amorphous thing that we don't.
Why is it a problem?
Why do you have a problem with it? I have a problem with it because millions of dollars, millions upon millions of dollars. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. Millions upon millions of our tax dollars go to pay for these schools, and we get nothing from it.
And we don't have anything to say about it either.
Agreed.
What is that website that you have mentioned in the past that actually shows how much we're paying our money, you guys, to fund these private schools?
The Wisconsin Education Network. It's got a table in there that you go and you check out your school district, and it will show exactly how much money is being spent on voucher schools and other programs that are basically supporting the second school system. And you will be shocked.
How much we're talking about.
Because I generally think people just think that the voucher school money just comes out of nowhere for some reason.
No, that's our money.
Yeah, no, that's our money. I'd love to have it back.
Tom, on the live stream, they push this thing that it's choice. It's not choice. It's profit. This is absolutely about profit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because, again, and we've talked about this before, choice schools can accept a student, take all this taxpayer money, and then kick the kid out and keep the money.
Yep. Yes.
That doesn't seem quite fair.
No, it doesn't seem like a right choice for our school, our education, and our children. And you can go ahead and quote Elon Musk or whomever you want all day long saying what they've found is waste. They haven't. Those are lies about our schools as well to make you hate the public schools even more than people already do.
Well, since you had to bring him up.
Sorry.
I thought it was interesting, and we're going to talk more about this after the 11 o'clock news.
Yeah.
Elon, you and your taxes, the IRS. But if you've never checked it out yet, I would encourage you to do so. Go to doge.gov.
Yeah, it's a...
Go to doge.gov. So we can check in all the savings that Elon is finding for us by going into agencies and then firing everyone without realizing what they do, and then having to hire them back.
Which we'll talk more about in the...
After the 11 o'clock news. But we have gotten some texters saying, what's wrong with you? What's your problem with finding efficiencies? I don't have any problem with finding efficiencies. I just would like more proof. And hence, I went to doge.gov to check on the savings, because there's a savings tab right at the very top.
Mm-hmm.
And it says receipts coming over the weekend. It's Monday.
And which weekend? Was that last weekend, the weekend before?
Well, the weekend is over.
Are those receipts also going to have a healthcare plan on there?
Receipts coming over the weekend, says Elon on doge.gov, but there's nothing there.
Guys, let's just take the rest of the day off. Jane, it's a holiday anyways. The receipts are coming. We'll be fine.
And I think it's important to remember that Elon can put up anything that he wants.
Yeah.
Because he's not supplying any evidence to back up that this is what he saved. It's just Elon saying, yes, we saved $27 billion.
Well, and that's really part and parcel for the White House that he is working for. They're not about those pesky details, Jane. They're all about those big actions. Unfortunately, people are now realizing that their votes really just ended up, sorry, I guess the FCC compliant on this one, but you know, they're finding out that at the end of the day, is not doing them any good.
No, unfortunately, it's not. Very, very excited to have her joining us in studio. Bird on a Wire, the woman who is also eternally positive, and she will not give up. Lou Ann Bird joining us in studio now. Good morning, Lou Ann. Thank you so much for driving all the way down here.
Oh, good morning. It's great to be with you all. We have a lot to talk about.
Yes.
And a lot to do.
Yes, we absolutely do.
So, yeah.
One of the reasons why we really wanted to talk to you, Luann, because people are exhausted, people are frustrated, people are afraid in some instances, and I think some of our natural instinct to do is just, I'm going to curl up in a ball and die. I understand that feeling, but that's not the answer. So before we talk about getting people motivated to get involved, let's talk about what you did regarding the VA and why this is so important to you and your husband.
Well, thank you for starting there. If there's anything I feel like I'm dedicating my life to, it's helping other people learn how to do what I do. So I had heard about the letter that all the federal workers had gotten, and I just, like everybody else, was very alarmed, but didn't pay a lot of attention to it until I was in the VA hospital here in Milwaukee, and I asked. So we go every year for our annual physical. Phil's there a lot. His health has really declined in the last year.
And your husband is a veteran.
And he's a Vietnam veteran, yes. Right? Was paralyzed in a construction accident, PTSD related, in 1990. So he's very complicated lately as he gets older. He's 79. And as he ages, the needs are higher, for sure. But we have a family at the VA. And, you know, I go toe-to-toe with my doctors once in a while and nurses there, and they know me, but I love them. And it's
you've been seeing the same people for a long time.
And some of them, Dr. Lee has been there for probably 30 years. He's now like the head of the spinal cord department. So these folks have been there a long time. And so when I went in there, I asked the first person I saw, did you get the letter? And she's like, yeah, we did, but I couldn't. And I got a new position, but I can't get the money that goes with it because of the hiring freeze. And she, you know, and I'm like, oh, this is not good. And then we get into our appointment, and I'm asking my doctor, I'm asking the nurses in there. They all got the letter.
Which said what?
Now, that is the key. Encourage your listeners to Google fork in the road and read the letter. Because it was very confusing. It was very alarming to them because they were not sure what all this meant. And these are professionals. These are not, they're professionals.
Right.
All of our civil servants are in their own right, whether they're a social worker, a doctor, or whatever. But the letter said this, like, these are the four standards that we're going to live by now as federal workers. And if you choose to stay, it went in that order. If you choose to stay, thank you, but you have to live by these standards, and there will be no guarantee that your job is still going to be there. That's in the letter, and it encourages them to go to the private sector, and then it says the buyout. So if you choose to leave now, we'll buy you out. But if you stay, there's no guarantee your job is going to be here. Now, talk about sending ripples through me and my family.
I bet.
So, of course, the first thing I did was organize, and I let people know, and I sent letters. I wrote a letter to the presidency and sent that off. There is a White House contact that you can at least... Actually, the first thing I did was make a phone call. And I had my little grandson in the car, and I'm like, hey, Siri, could you call the White House? And lo and behold, it found a number.
Yeah.
And it found a person. And so my grandson's like, you're not calling the White House,
Grandma,
right?
You can't do that.
Grandma?
Just watch me.
Well, that was just the first thing, you know? And then I sent all kinds of letters. And then I let the press know, and I sent out a press release. There was a wonderful rally for our federal employees on downtown Milwaukee on Valentine's Day to show our love for our federal workers. So I marched on down there and made sure I stood up there with my sign. And
have you heard from other families of veterans?
Yes, I have, and other people that just did not know that this letter affects our veterans. So, you know, my story is, like, Phil broke his leg, he broke his ankle, he had a stroke a number of years ago, so he needed a lot of physical therapy and occupational therapy, and then now, you know, this broken leg, he needs, well, it's healed now, but, it, you know, he needed the ortho department.
Sure.
And we needed a social worker to help bring some help into the house for me because he can no longer transfer by himself. So he's completely bedbound. So I'm wondering what 20% of all of that do we need to cut for our veterans? And also I get a lot of caregiver support as a caregiver where I wouldn't be able to take care of him. I'm wondering what 20% of that we all have to give up. I just don't think this is the way to go about making government more efficient. I agree, that's always a thing, but I think change should happen from the bottom up, not the top down, and that's what I do. I've gone toe-to-toe with them.
More times than you can count,
like, no,
I'm sure.
That's a waste of time and a waste of money, and it's not working. And the VA also holds town hall meetings all the time for us patients so that we can let them know how things are happening. So this is wrong. What's happening is wrong. And I've got my network, Birds on a Wire, and so many people are stepping up. They're meeting with me every week to talk about actions we can take. How can we turn that passion, like you said, and don't curl up on the couch.
Yeah.
Just get out there and do something, whether it's write a letter, whether it's make a phone call. So I'm helping people turn that into, and not just, you know, just writing letters and everything, but having an impact. That's the goal here. We really need to make sure that we have democracy. And the I hear people say we maybe need to reframe how we talk. I'm not for that. I'm not. I've never been for that.
You're a very straight shooter. I'm not quite sure what people want you to do.
Yeah.
Well, right. That was one of the things, too, is after the election, they said, we got to find a way to get along and find our commonality. No, you voted for a party and a guy who wanted to cut, decimate, and hurt us. I don't feel like I need to work too hard to connect with that. I need to find people who want to do the work to make it better. And that's what you're doing right now, Luann.
So. Claire Reed has an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about your concern about the VA. We're going to include this in our show notes. You can always find those at civicmedia.us. Click on shows. Go to Matt Nair on air. We're going to continue our conversation with Luann Bird. Join us 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. The number is the same. Call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on YouTube and the platform shedding more users than a molting parrot. You can always check in with us.
No pun.
I'm just trying.
No bird.
New versions.
Oh, yeah. Bird pun.
Bird pun.
I thought it was.
Yeah. Oh, just because. Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's exactly why I did that. Luann Bird is here from Bird on a Wire. And if you're just joining us, before we went to the break, Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran and has been using the VA for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And you were very concerned when a lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. Mm-hmm. And it was essentially, we think you should join the private sector.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. If not, yeah, you can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything.
Right.
Right.
That was the message.
Yeah, which sounds so warm and makes you feel so good about being an employee. Like, it's great to get that letter.
Well, and I guess, and you would know better than I, Luann, there have been a lot of complaints I've heard about the VA. It is not a perfect institution. There are people have had issues with the VA. But this doesn't seem to be the right way to fix it.
No, most of the issues are around understaffing.
Understaffing.
Doggone.
Yeah.
Or, you know, inefficiencies. That's true. But mostly because they are understaffed and underfunded. You cannot. There's more of a baby boomer population having greater needs. And there's more wars, you know, more people using it and needing it. So, you know, I go back to the issue of maybe people just don't understand. We don't have to reframe things. We have to educate people because you cannot have democracy without a bureaucracy. And what they're doing right now, a bureaucracy is the system by which civil servants that are not elected carry out the policymakers' policies that they vote on our behalf. So this idea that we have to just cut the bureaucracy and slash and burn, that's not what we need to do. We can't have democracy if we get rid of bureaucracy. So it's not a bad term. It is just a system. It's a way of organizing things and making sure that those policies that our elected officials, we elect them to do, get carried out through the civil servants. They're not people you can just chop off the block like this.
I think that was great what you just said there. And I think we need to bring that phrase, that term, into our lexicon when it comes to this kind of behavior, which is slash and burn. No forethought on what you're getting rid of. You're just getting rid of things, and then all of a sudden you're left going, oops. What happened to that thing?
Yeah.
Well, we got rid of it 3 months ago. I didn't know that because we didn't look. I think the more we need, the more you use slash and burn to describe what the current White House is doing, that has a visceral and meaningful impact to people, because that's just what it is. And we're seeing it across the board, whether it's the VA, whether it's maybe the IRS, maybe it's the
our nuclear agencies.
Yeah. So this is not finding inefficiencies. This is slash and burn. That's it.
Elon's coming in with all his 19-year-olds, one of them whose nickname is Big Balls. I can assure you they do not understand how the government actually works. Rosanna from Oshkosh has been very patient waiting on the phone. Good morning, Rosanna. Thank you for joining us. What do you want to say?
Good morning. I just want to applaud Ms. Bird for the work that she's doing and to say that I have been on the front lines as a veteran in Desert Storm, and I spent 5 years in military service and proudly served my country. I continued my federal work at FedVA, working in the homeless program, which I understand is on the chopping block right after the Veteran Crisis Line, which was formerly known as the Veteran Suicide Hotline, which I manned probably once every 4 weeks. I am devastated and appalled that we cannot work across party lines to support and protect our combat veterans and some of the most vulnerable programs in the world. It's not a DEI, homeless programs are not just a DEI initiative. They are serving our nation's heroes, and they are on the chopping block next. And I am just shocked and saddened, and I just wanted to say thank you guys for all the work you do at WISS. You guys are my co-pilot.
Oh, thank you
very
Rosanna.
Much.
Thank really, really
you.
Appreciate
we appreciate
it.
Your call.
And thank you for your service.
Absolutely.
And I cannot imagine the level of frustration, Rosanna, for you and other veterans when you hear veterans used as props mm-hmm. by our politicians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we back the, you know, if it's not back the blue, we back our vets and we do all this.
Yeah.
Yeah, except when it comes time to pay for it. Yeah.
So I want to tag on to what Rosanna said there, in that these are unprecedented times. So I wrote a letter to President Musk and I sent it off to the White House, and I did copy DJ Trump on it. But, telling him that you can't run America like a business, and that, you know, these programs serve veterans. And I said, my husband put his life on the line for our country once, and now it feels like it's happening again, only not coming in from the enemy. It's coming from you.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA, and including what Roseanne's doing out there for homeless veterans. Everybody says, oh, we want to support veterans, but then do it with your dollars. Do it mm-hmm. with your voices. Anyone listening, please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. Stand up. Republicans, stand up to this. This is not what America is.
Cassandra on the live stream says, Luann, I just signed up for your newsletter. You're such a beacon of positivity. Thank you for your work, and thank your husband for his service. My dad was a Vietnam veteran as well. Thank you for that, Cassandra. Thank you, Luann Bird. She is our role model.
Mm-hmm.
Luann and Jean from Eau Claire. We can all do something.
Yes.
That's
we can
right.
all do That's something. Right. And we will have this article about Luann in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in our show notes, so make sure you check that out. We have news coming up next. When we return, Elon and us, that's all on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.